Father, we just thank you tonight for being here with us. We thank you for ministering to your people in a special way tonight. Father God, you know each and every need here. We lay those needs on the altar right now. We ask, Father God, that your angelic host come and minister to each one of those needs. And Father, be with us as we go throughout the service. Open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual understanding. And let us see what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God told us that we were going through a time of testing. It was going to be unprecedented. It's going to be tests that we never thought, never been through before. And so if you're being tested and tried, just God warned us. He told us it was coming. So, you know, it's not like he left to sneak up on us and overtake us. I don't know most of you got that little email I had Brother Chris sent out about this is a time that God wants to use your talent, T-A-L-E-N-T-S. I know, don't say it right. But he wants to use your giftings right now. And so just let your giftings come forth. You know, let whatever God has inside of you, let it come out. And he said this is a time that he really wants to use you and your giftings. So I was excited when I heard that because so many sitting in here are gifted. You have so many talents, and you know, and please don't set on them. God wants to bring them forth right now in this season, right away, and he wants to use you. You know, the world, they don't mind using their giftings, do they? And they get out there just like they're not ashamed of nothing, and they just let it all loose. And I wish the body of Christ would do that. I wish the body of Christ would, the giftings that God has given them, just go ahead and use them. Let God use you in those giftings and let God get the glory. You know, the devil gets a lot of glory, doesn't he? So I think it's time that God gets some glory all the glory through his children. It's what he's given us. There's things he's given us, you know. I don't care if it's preaching. I don't care if it's praying. I don't care if it's singing, you know, dancing or whatever. In the email I sent out, Paula Reed, is that who said that? I forget who said it now. I forgot who the author of it was. But anyhow, it's all kind of things that God has placed within his people that he wants to bring forth in this hour. So, I'm believing each one of you in here, you're going to submit yourself to God and just go ahead and step out there by faith and do what God's calling you for to do. I read another word where it said it, some of the saints who have been in this battle for a long time are battle weary. And God's calling you to a place of separation, a place to be alone so you can rest. And if you don't rest, then you're not going to make it. Don't try to keep yourself out there in the forefront. If he's drawing you back and drawing you away from people, then it's because you're weary and you've been fighting too long and he knows you need some days of refreshing. I forgot who put that out today, but I read that. And how many of you have been trying to figure out what God is doing with you? You know, you are alone, you know, and different things are happening in your life, things you never thought would ever happen. God, what are you doing? And then I also read, I think it was in the same prophetic word, that where when God doesn't speak, when God is silent, that's the best time there is. You're learning more from God by him not speaking, and you're learning to use your faith more than whenever he speaks to you all the time. So this person was saying, don't be upset if God's not speaking right now to you, because you're used to that and you're upset because he isn't. It isn't that he isn't, it doesn't want to speak. It's he wants you to start using your faith. So how many of you have prayers up before the Lord and he's not saying nothing, and you've been saying, what is going on here? Well, he just wants you to start using your faith and trust and believe what he already told you. You know, it's a difficult time. And I'm just hearing this. I'm just saying it's a difficult time right now for the true believers, because the enemy's coming in from all sides. And the true believers don't understand really what's going on right now, because this is a new way and we've never been there before. So what we have to do is just keep our hand in God's hand and just keep trusting him and just keep plugging along and just keep moving. And it's all going to come together. All the pieces of the puzzle are going to come together. And And you'll look back on this time like you've looked back on all the other times and said, why did I get so excited? Why was I so upset? You know? So let's just go ahead and be encouraged in the Lord this evening. And let's just move forward. I'm going to tell you, in the same prophetic word that I read, God said some are going to lose out altogether right now. If we start, you know, bucking against everything, we're going to lose out altogether right now. If we become unteachable, we're going to lose out altogether right now. So don't become unteachable. Don't be fighting against what God's doing in your life. Just go with the flow and let God do. You know, we say, God, here I am. Do whatever you want to do to me or through me. And then when he does, and you think, what do you think you're doing? You know, you already asked him to do it, didn't you? Somebody said, I heard somebody tell somebody else the other day, you better be careful what you ask for. And I don't know where I was at, but I heard that. And I said, that is so true, even in the body of Christ. You know, we ask for things, and then we get them, we think, I didn't ask for this. Yes, you did. It just came in a way you didn't think it was going to come. All right. Tonight, I'm going to talk about decreeing your transformation. The exchange. Let's talk about the exchange that was made at the cross. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin with our sinfulness that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might receive his life. Jesus was made a curse that we might enter into the blessing. Jesus endured our poverty that we might share his abundance. Jesus bore our shame that we might share his glory. Jesus endured our rejection that we might have his acceptance with the Father. Jesus was cut off by death that we might be joined to God eternally. Our old man was put to death in him that the new man might come to life in us. You know, I don't know about you, but don't you just pray every day, God, just let this old man die. You know, still I can still hear him breathing a little bit. It just, let's let him die, you know, and let everything become brand new. All right? Everything brand new. Let's face it, we all haven't died out to self yet. There's still a little bit of something in there that keeps wanting to rear its ugly head, right? And every time it does, you say, dear Lord, I thought I was over that. Well, just keep saying, you're not going to manifest in me. I'm not going to give in to you. And just go ahead and keep on going. I was reading Kathy Walters' article today, and she was talking about what old it was like when there's revivals going on all the time. And she was saying to her husband, he ministers to youth, they went somewhere to a church, and to a school it was, and he was ministering, and he did his preaching and everything, and then he quit, and all of a sudden the glory hit. And everybody was just froze. It was kids there. Everybody just froze. And Catherine said that this little girl came up because they thought that everything was so quiet upstairs because everybody was out in the spirit, you know, frozen in the spirit. And so she came up and she pulled on Kathy's skirt and Kathy looked down and said, what you want, honey? And the little girl just froze there. She was just froze holding on to her skirt. She couldn't say a thing. And you know, see, that's the moving of the Spirit. She was telling a few different things that happened that they witnessed. And she said one time, all the kids started crying and the parents got all upset and they didn't understand the Holy Spirit was moving on them. And that's why they were crying. And she said, people have got to know what the moving of the Spirit is all about. And I know the body of Christ has not recognized the moving of the Spirit as a whole. You know, but she went on and on to tell all these wonderful things that was happening back then she said that the Holy Spirit comes in the back door when you least expect him is what she was saying. So she said that they'd be preaching and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit fall and they weren't expecting it, but he just fell. And then so, you know, there went the service and God just was in control and everybody was out of control and they were flip-flopping around and everything. So, you know, you might be sitting in church tonight or some other time and all of a sudden you're just frozen in your seat or you're flopping out on the floor or you're dancing, you know, like crazy. And that's just, don't get excited. That's just the Holy Spirit deciding to visit you a little bit and get you going. Amen. So just enjoy it while it's happening. All right, so we're talking about decree your transformation. Exodus 4:1-5 says, then Moses answered and said, talking to God, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Here's a suppose thing, right? So the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And God said, cast it on the ground. So Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So this is a miracle he was going to show, all right? Now, God had commissioned Moses to deliver Israel out of their slavery in Egypt, but Moses felt he was not equipped for the task. God asked Moses, what is that in your hand? Moses replied, a rod. He saw no special significance in the rod. God proceeded to demonstrate to Moses the miraculous potential in that seemingly insignificant rod, and Moses actually fled in terror from his own rod. I want you to stop and think about what God might be doing with y'all. With me too, all right? But when God showed him how to use the rod as an instrument of divine authority, it was all he needed to fulfill his task. God has placed something in each one of our lives, and that's all we need to fulfill the task that God has given us. But we're running from it. With that rod, Moses defeated the magicians of Egypt, stripped Pharaoh of his power, humiliated Egypt's gods, and brought Israel out from slavery to freedom. God has told us many times that he has placed his scepter in our hands. That scepter is his word. If you can understand its unlimited potential, you can use your Bible as Moses used his rod to extend God's authority into any situation where Satan opposes the people and the purpose of God. Let's stop there. You know, in that one article I was reading, God told this prophet, you know, was prophesying to him. He said that he's going to so anoint the people of God and he said, you'll be in church, but you won't be ministering in the church. You'll be ministering out in the highways, in the marketplaces. And he's going to so anoint you that just you walking into some place, you know, your job or this store or something, the anointing's going to be so strong on you, it's going to draw people to you, and many multitude of souls are going to be saved. He said, this is a time that he's going to do that. You know, we just talked about that the other day, and he said, and God prophesied and said, so tell my people to get ready because this is getting ready to happen. Now, what are you going to do when a multitude of people run up to you, start crying and falling on their faces? Are you going to look around and say, help? You know, or the help's already there. That's your rod. The help's already there. The Holy Spirit anointing's in you, and you just lead them to Christ. But in this prophetic word, it said, now is the time that God is going to do this, right now. I'm hearing God say right now, God has stripped you of something that you valued very highly, but it wasn't doing you any good. So I don't know who that's for, but he stripped you of it. All right? Where am I at? God has told us. Where am I at? We are in a continual... Yeah, okay. We are in a continual war with Satan. We already know that. We need to take our scepter and extend God's authority through it into every area where Satan has been opposing us. There are three steps we must take. We must decree it, then thank God for it and praise him for it. You know, just decree that God has done whatever, and then thank him for it and praise him for it. We sit around complaining. So why don't we sit around decreeing? You know, I decree that God, you told me that I was going to have more than enough. My coffer was going to overflow and I'd have abundance, but it would overflow and I could give into other people's bosoms. And I thank you, God, that you told me that. And I praise you, Father God, it's happening right now. See, we are not doing our part. I decree and declare that my household is saved. That my children are serving you, Father, just like you told me they would. And I thank you for it, and I praise you for it. You know, this is the kind of things we need to start doing in our lives. Isaiah 10:22 says, "For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return." So you're saying that even though there's a multitude of people, only a remnant is going to return. You see that? Remember, this is what God was saying for years. I have a remnant of people that I have set apart for this time. Are you understanding this? You are that remnant. You have been fought tooth and nail. The enemy's been at you from all sides, but you stayed the course, even though sometimes you don't know how you stayed. You still stayed the course, and now is our time. I'm hearing God say to receive all the benefits of his blessings. So, you see, that's what you should do. I receive that in Jesus' name. Isaiah 28:22, "Now therefore do not be mockers, lest your bonds be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a destruction determined even upon the whole earth." There is a destruction coming, but it will not touch the remnant. You have to understand that. You don't walk in fear, don't walk in hopelessness, but God promised us he's going to take care of his own. All right? You need to be the strong tower that others can run into. You need to be saying, it's fine. God's taking care of anything, everything. And they might be hysterical, but you're going to have to be strong and not get hysterical with them and keep encouraging them until they understand what you're trying to tell them. See, I was reading another article, too, that last night that said that whenever you go out in the highways to minister to people, you shouldn't go out there with thee and thou and this and go out there and talk to them like where they're at, because you turn them away because you're talking all this religious stuff that they don't understand. And they don't want that. They want you to talk to them on their level. Remember when I first started, I was in college and everything, using big words. I thought, these people don't understand these words. So I got down and started talking on people's level. You know, and working in the college, you have to talk college talk. But working in church, you don't do college talk. You understanding that? So we have to learn to live like that. We have to learn to minister to the people on their level. And see, we forget that they've only been, they just now accepted the Lord, and you've accepted him 20 years ago. So they're not going to be where you are. So you have to have patience and endurance and long-suffering and grace and compassion and minister to them until you get them to a place where they can go ahead and be on their own. All right? Psalm 2:4-8. "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you." You know, that's what he said to Jesus, right? "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions." God gave me that scripture one time, you know, just ask me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And I have it right above my computer, and I just look at it and say it every day. God, you promised, and I decree and I declare it's done right now. Every day. Put the things before your eyes. Don't forget what God's told you to do. Don't forget the promises that he's given you. You know, I know we've been to hell and back so many times we don't care if we ever even hear the word ever again. But you know, we were there and we came back and we're still standing. We had to be tried. We had to be tested. And the higher you go and the more you grow, you're going to start being tested all over again, because the enemy is surely going to try to take you back down. We cannot let him win ever, 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 ever. First, decree the appropriate scripture with bold, unwavering confidence. Get the scripture. Second, accept the scripture we have decreed as true even before we see the results of it in any situation, and thank God for it. Even though you haven't seen it, decree it and thank God for it. Third step, just praise him. We need to decree our transformation. You know, if we didn't do this, then we're just like the world. And how are we going to win the world if we don't even do what we're supposed to do? Isn't that right? You know, when you're out there trying to tell them about God and you haven't even got your own self together, that's going to seep through and they're going to see that. So, you know, you have to be strong in the Lord. And like somebody said to me the other day, well, why can't we just tell somebody no in the body of Christ? Why can't we? God does, doesn't he? No, you can't do that. No, that's not right. Right? God's word said so. God gave the word for, I think yesterday and today, both says that we're supposed to tell people like it is. You can't do that in the house of God. Sorry, I forgot what he said. But you just can't do that in the house of God. It doesn't matter if they say they want to or not. You just, God's word says you just can't do that. Right? Come on, we can't be like the world. And then brother, little baby brother Brett found a scripture saying we shouldn't drink too. All the time I read the Bible, I never saw that, but sure enough, it's there. I said, I said to myself, I needed to know that years ago. You know? You see Christian, I'm allowed to drink. I can get a little bit of wine, and I watch Christian a little bit of wine. They get a little bit drunk too. You know, and that's not, they get a whole lot drunk, don't they? And you're not supposed to do that. What kind of a witness are you? If you're out there smoking and drinking and cussing and caring, what kind of witness are you? You're no different than the world, right? Aren't we supposed to be peculiar people? Aren't we supposed to be different? Well, then, let's start being peculiar. Let's start being different. The more you try to stay peculiar and the more you try to stay different, the more fighting you're going to get from the enemy. I'm going to tell you that right now. I have never been fought trying to be righteous as I am right now. I thought, now come on, this is unreal. 30 years preaching the gospel, always serving God all my life, and now all of a sudden I'm being fought like crazy to try to take me out of the house of God. Is anybody else going through that? Trying to defile your witness and your testimony? We're all in the same boat then, right? We all know we're in a warfare and we can't give in and we can't give up. We have to keep on going. Job 22:28, is that where I'm at, Brother Nancy? You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. You know, this faith, the faith message that went out there, and it was a good message. It really was. They were saying decree and declare and then just take it. They wanted other people's wives and cars and houses. That was all wrong. But see, then, so now nobody declares or nobody decrees or declares anything, because after all, that isn't right. That's the word of God tells us to do that, right? Come on. Now God told me to preach this, so I'm preaching it. You have to allow God some leeway in your life, and the only way you're going to do that is by decreeing what he's told you is already yours. You're not saying something he didn't say, are you? I hope not. You said, Lord, you said, I tell him, you called me into the ministry. You told me to start this church. I didn't want to do this. I was content sitting down in a chair helping other people. You did this. Now you take care of it. That's what I do. Come on. It wasn't my idea. It was God's. So, all right, God. And then you said you'd keep me while I was here, so keep me. Pay these bills this month. Are you listening here? I mean, he told me, he said, you got in this building and you weren't supposed to, but because I know your heart, I know you did it to please the people and didn't know you shouldn't, the bills will always be paid. I'll always meet your need here. You won't have an abundance, but I'll meet your need. So whenever it looks like he's not going to meet my need, I said, all right, God, you said, I decree and I declare these bills are all paid this month because you said, and I've been doing what you told me to do. That's probably why we're sitting in a leaky roof, because I was out of God's will when I got here. All right. But we still pray against the roof, right? Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God is creative and expects his creation to be the same. I was telling him this evening when I come in, you know, little Isaiah right now, he's a pip. So I laid for 2 hours praying, God, please give me more patience. Please give me wisdom. God, please don't let me get upset and yell. And I said, and you know, let me be more loving and more caring and all this, that, and the other. And Isaiah got awake. He went awake 5 minutes. He threw a bottle and hit me in the head. You know, he just started. He gets started before he gets out of the bed. And there went my prayer right down the drain. And I'm sitting there saying, I'm so mad at you, devil, for making me do this. You know what I'm saying? He comes at you in all angles. A little 2-year-old can unnerve you? Come on now. How strong are we? Come on. You know, this is really, for me, it's a good example, because if a 2-year-old can unnerve me, what's the devil going to do to me? That little 2-year-old has a little bit of devil in him though. But I said, God, you know, am I ever going to get over this hump? Are you listening? Did you put this little child in my life so I get more patience? I thought I had patience. You know, why did you do this? Now God, you told me that I wasn't going to raise him. So I decree and I declare his father's going to get right and he's going to raise his child. Amen. Because he's taken my time away from you. We have to apply everything in our life to what God has said to us. Come on. Are you hearing me here? He doesn't want us to sit around and let the enemy rule and reign. Little Isaiah, I said, don't do that. And he looks at me grinning. He goes, just as he's grinning. All right, now give it to me. And he laughs and runs like crazy. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now come on, do we believe in God or not? Then we're going to do the very same works that God did, that Jesus did. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus set the captives free. Jesus healed. Jesus performed miracles, right? Then he goes on to say, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now we're supposed to do greater works than what Jesus did. And you know, some people say, well, it's because we can fly over the ocean. Jesus didn't do that. I don't believe that. I believe there's something so much greater that we're going to do for the Father. And I'm going to stay the course just so I can see what the greater works is. Amen. Come on. And I decree and declare that I'm not going to die, but I'm going to live as God told me to, because I'm going to see this thing that whatever it is that God is bringing to pass, right? Come on. Jesus said that we should be doing greater works than were done when he was upon the earth. God is creative. God is proactive and not reactive. You know, the enemy's working against marriages. You need to tell the enemy to get out of town, because you and your husband or you and your wife have a work to do for God, and he's not going to stop you. He's working on families. Get out of town, devil. You're not going to stay here in my family and cause all this havoc. You're just not going to do it. And I keep saying that, and then little Isaiah goes, you just say, devil. That is true. All right, where was that? God is proactive and not reactive. God does not react to anything. Instead, he creates. Isn't that a big lesson we need to learn tonight? God does not react to anything. Instead, he creates. So instead of me acting, you know, reacting to what he's doing, I should create an atmosphere of peace and joy and harmony and whatever, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So that little 2-year-old is trying to create, you know, a havoc. And so I'm not supposed to react to what he's doing, which I do. Instead, I should be creating a different atmosphere around about him. I do try that, and sometimes it works. I'll say, Larry. He comes in the room. What are you doing, Isaiah? Come, let's look at your trucks. Let's paint your trucks. And he does. He goes and plays with his trucks, but he looks at me and grins. But see, I created a different atmosphere, right? When God decreed words, things immediately changed. I don't see that happening. Do you? Do you see? When God decreed words, things immediately changed. When you decree a word, do things immediately change? I don't think so. Does anybody have things immediately change? You do, raise your hands. I want to know how you do it. No, it didn't happen. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't you get frustrated now though? Because after all, we are the children of God. We have all power and authority. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. And the devil's under our feet. But when we pray, things don't seem to change, do they? But God said all that's going to change, guys. He said that devil's had us over a barrel, but it's all going to change this season. This season that we're in right now, this year. And they said by the time we get in 2016, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be heaven on earth. So stick in there, hang in there, keep decreeing it, keep declaring, and let God go ahead and do what he wants to do. Don't fight God. Don't fight God. So I said, when God decreed words, things immediately changed. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. How many times you said, my car is running? It's running, right? See, it happened. You decreed it, you declared it, and it's happened. Right? Who contrary to hope in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. So Abraham just started believing God. Okay, so I'm an old man and you say I'm going to have a baby and I'm going to be a father of many nations. I receive that. So if God said you're going to be a multi-millionaire 20 years ago and you still aren't, why can't you still receive that? It took Abraham 25 years to get that baby. Are you listening here? Things just don't happen overnight. They're going to, but right now they're not. We have to keep walking in by faith and not by sight. We have to speak things into existence. We do, but it's the wrong things. Right? So we need to change our tactic here a little bit and speak the right things into existence. You know, the devil has worked for years and years. He worked really, really hard to get us into doubt and unbelief. He worked really, really hard for long years to wear us down. And God even said, your battle weary, you have to rest. So guys, don't feel like you've failed because you haven't failed. The enemy just come at, you know, he comes at us all in different directions. You know, we all have different situations. And he just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming and kept coming till finally you say, I just don't know how much more of this I can endure. Well, you can endure as much as God lets you endure. Amen. Come on. Just decree to the devil, devil, you're not wearing me out. As you're sitting down going, you're not wearing me out. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to see the end of this course. You might make me tired, but I'm going to get a few minutes rest. I'm going to get back. I'm going to keep on going. So you're going to have to speak it into existence. It is truly going to happen, but don't lose out before it does is what I'm trying to tell you. Keep plugging in there. Keep going. God promised me a new building out how many years ago, and he promised me this, that, and the other how many years ago. It still isn't here, but he tells me it's going to happen. Just hold on. It's going to happen. Just hold on. So each one of you in here, whatever God has promised you, it's going to happen. Just hold on. Like the other night, I said, God, what's my part to play in this? He said, shut up. You know, I did too much. I was doing too much talking about it. My part was just be quiet. Be still and let God be God. And I don't believe I'm the only one that's in that boat either. You know, we keep asking God, what can I do? Well, you've already put your muddy hands in there. You messed it up. So he wants you to get your hands out of there and let him work it out. Our transformation is in our ability to have faith in God and simply take Him at His word. And right now, I really feel in the spirit realm, I've been feeling it for about 6 months now, that the enemy has worked on God's people so long that they're starting to doubt the word. You know, the problem, he's been promising and promising and promising to the point where the people are tired of hearing the promises. And that's why you're going to see a great falling away. Well, it's already happening, a great falling away in the house of God. Because like when God told me about tell them the glory's coming, how many years ago was that? And his next words were, do not grow weary in telling them that my glory's coming, because my glory is coming. So for 8 years I've been saying his glory's coming, and it hasn't gotten here yet, but it is coming. It, you know, it's not my timetable that God works on. He works on his timetable. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Talking about the bones. Then he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. That was a good answer, wasn't it? Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, then you shall know that I am the Lord. So what did he say? He said, decree it. Declare it. Isn't that what he was saying? So I prophesied as I was commanded. So I'm commanding y'all to decree and declare tonight, all right? Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Are you hearing this? So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet in an exceedingly great army. Start breathing upon your word that God has given you. Start prophesying over your prophetic word. Bring life into that prophetic word. To quit allowing the enemy to bring death into everything that God has promised you. You know, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are or how middle-aged you are. If God has spoken something to you, He is going to do it. Come on. Well, you know, I'm over the hill. What hill? You know, I know young people that are older than over the hill people. Come on. If God has said he's going to use you in your latter years, then he's going to use you in your latter years. In 1977, I forgot how old I was, and I said, God, look at all the years I wasted. He says, no, you didn't. This was the time that you were born to come forth at this time. I didn't waste anything, and you haven't wasted anything. This is your timing. This is your season. I told you the other night, I preached to you, don't miss your season. Don't miss your timing. Don't allow the enemy to have you so wrapped up in some stupid thing that you miss God's timing in your life. Prophesy your destiny into existence. See that? Decree your environment, both physical and spiritual, to change. Decree your environment, both physical and spiritual, to change, and then have an experience of a lifetime in your year of transformation. This is a year that God wants to start transforming us, saints. Come on. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. God had me preach years ago that you were predestined. that God knew you before the foundations of the earth, and you knew him, and you were in heaven with him, and you talked together, and he asked you to come down with an assignment, and you agreed. All right? You were once sitting in heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you, or you went to him, or however it was, and you said you wanted to come down here and do something. Now do it. And quit complaining because it was harder than what you thought it was going to be. You said, oh, I'm a spiritual being. I'll go down and I'll just whoop-de-doo. Well, it didn't work that way, did it? Did it work that way for Jesus? No. He came down and look what happened to him. He had to go to the cross. Come on, saints. Romans 8:29. Oh, I read that, didn't I? Ephesians 3:1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. See, when you're a servant, you're in prison for other people. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. See that? How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You know, Paul didn't have no mystery in Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. God's told us that this year the Word is going to become life and it's going to become real. And he's going to reveal things in the Word that nobody else has ever seen. Now, are you going to believe that or are you, God said it, we didn't. Are you going to believe God or not? All right, so I said, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. And God has said, we're going to do things that nobody else has ever done. This is what he's talking about here. As it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. You know, when you become bold with another Christian, they get excited, don't they? I mean, they get excited to the point of stupidity, is what I'm trying to say. Why are you talking to me like that? Well, you know what? You need to be talked to like that. Right? God said that we need to be bold in this season. I don't care if you're talking to your brother, you know, that was another thing this article said. Don't go out and call the people brothers and sisters that aren't in Christ. That's all right in the church, but don't go out and say, hey, brother, you know, they don't understand what you're talking about. You're not their brother. Are you understand? I thought that was a pretty neat point. So anyhow, guys, we are supposed to be bold. God said, I'll give you a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel. Now, what does that mean? Bold, right? Bold. And you should be able to go talk to another fellow servant in the Lord boldly. You should be able to talk and not get upset about what they're saying to you or what they're saying to you or what you're saying to them. We should have enough about us that we should be able to talk and not get upset. I should be able to tell you the truth. You should be able to tell me the truth. It'll set us both free. But don't expect me to bow to your whim. And I don't expect you to bow to my whim. Are you understanding what we're saying here? We are supposed to be children of God, walking in the grace of God, doing the things of God together in unity. Not everybody's going to stay in unity, you know. All right, predestined means foreordaining to an eternal destiny. God didn't predestine you to go to hell. He did not do that. He predestined you to do your work down here and one day sit back again in heavenly places with him, right? Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells me that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:7 and 1 John 1:7 and Hebrews 13:12 tells me that I am redeemed, cleansed, and sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Romans 3:23-25 and Romans 8:33-34 tells me that my members, the parts of my body, are instruments of righteousness yielded to God for his service and for his glory. I find very few Christians who have yielded their body to Christ for his service and for his glory. They'll go so far and stop. That's all you can do, Lord. I'm not letting you use me totally and completely. then God can't use you at all. He's, like he told me, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you. Would you just go ahead and walk away from me right now? Now, if you tell that to another Christian, if you say that Christian, God wants all of you, and if you don't want to give them all, then walk away right now, that they get excited with you, don't they? How dare you talk to me like that? I didn't. God did. He wants 100% of you. Come on, he doesn't want that little hidden closet. He doesn't. The devil has no place in me. That's what you should be saying. No power over me. No unsettled claims against me. All has been settled by the blood of Jesus. Revelation 12:11 tells me that I overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and I do not love my life to the death. What kind of testimony do you have? I'll go to church and I feel like it. What kind of a testimony is that? I'll sneak out of town and party for a weekend and I'll come back and be godlike. What kind of a testimony is that? Come on. 1 Corinthians 6:13 tells me that my body is for the Lord and the Lord is for my body. God can tell you what to do, whatever he wants to, whenever, God can tell you what he wants you to do anytime he feels like it, and you're supposed to do it. Well, God, I just don't feel like that today. Well, you won't feel like it tomorrow either. The word of God tells me be instant in season and out of season. In other words, anytime God speaks to you and tells you to do something, you're supposed to do it. And do it to the glory of the Father. God's words tells us, speak to your mountain. Command that the hindrances be removed, that the crooked places be made straight, and that the rough places become smooth. God has given you authority over the enemy's opposition to his purpose for you. How many of us really believe that 100% of the time? God has given you authority over the enemy's opposition to his purposes, for you. So rise up and speak forth God's word. Then watch and be amazed at how, as you see the opposing forces vanish like the morning dew. In other words, what I'm saying here is, get it together, decree and declare it, tell the enemy to go get lost, and then watch God perform. God can't perform. God told me one time, you tie my hands all the time. Because you secretly in your mind, you believe the devil and you don't believe me. Sometimes we don't even know we're even doing something like that. We have more faith in what the devil's telling us than what we have in what God has told us. And when I say what the devil tells us, by what we see other people doing, and God has spoken, they're going to be righteous, they're going to be serving me, they're going to be preaching my word, and the devil lets you see, oh, really now, And then we look at that person, I don't know about that. I don't really do that. I really don't, because when God tells me, God has told me there's some people's going to serve him all their life, and he's told me some people won't. So, if I'm going to believe one, I have to believe the other, right? Matthew 21:21, Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed, it be cast into the sea, it will be done. Now I know, and I've heard a lot of people say, and I think I've thought it sometimes, God, I believed, I've said, and I've done, and this, and that, and the other. See, because I lived that. I lived where I saw, the dead rise. I lived where I saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And now all of a sudden, nothing. And I'm praying the same way, believing the same way, not doubting, and nothing. And God's promised me, daughter, you're going to be greater than, when you're going to have greater things now than you had before, and I see them be less and less and less, but I have to believe God in all every area of my life. He said, I'm going to do greater works, and I'm going to do greater works. I don't care what my eyes see right now for the past 15 years. God spoke it, it's going to happen, and I keep saying, God, you said, God, you said, God, you said. That's what brings me through, because God said it. And if he said it, then I believe it. And whenever a little bit of doubt tries to creep in, I said, nope. I remember my father told me one time about doubt, and I believe he's going to remove my candlestick. And you're not having my candlestick, devil. I worked too hard and too long to have this thing. So what are you going to do when the devil comes visiting you? You know, what if God takes something away from you that you really don't want to let go of? Because that does happen. He does take things away from you that you never thought he had ever asked you to give up. Are you listening? You know, I have a very special relationship with my one grandson. Very special. And this person came into the house full of the devil. And whenever they left, they said, well, I accomplished what I came here to do. I'm no longer jealous of your relationship with your grandson because I've turned him totally against you. And they had. And I said, that's all right, devil. You know, the devil looked me right in the face and laughed. I said, that's all right, devil. You might think you accomplished it, but you didn't. We will be one once again. You know, come on. And for 2 years, it's been hell. But I know what my God promised me. And I know my God told me that he gave me to him to raise. He gave him to me to raise. And I know that my God put, when my daughter had that boy, I said, if you have a boy, do not bring him in my house because I don't want no boys in my house. Every time I got pregnant, I said, God, don't you give me a boy. And when she had her baby, it was a boy. For 2 days, I went to the hospital. He was born premature. And my husband said, come on, you're ridiculous. You have to go and see your grandson. So when I walked in that, you know, he's a little tiny thing because he was born too soon and looked like a rat, you know. Just fit in the palm of your hand. When I walked in there and I don't know who handed him to me, God said, this is your son. I'm giving him to you to raise, even though you didn't bear him. He's your son. You raise him. And a love came into me, and I know that was from God. I loved that little rat like he wouldn't believe. You know, I took his pictures, works. Isn't he beautiful? You know how you sort of patronize people. Oh, he's the best, but nice looking baby I've ever seen. And we've had a special relationship all of our life. Until the devil came in. His assignment was to destroy that relationship. He didn't do it with me, but he did it with him. But God's going to restore it. So what has happened in your life? What has Satan come and separated and divided? Think about this, guys. Well, what was God's promise to you when it first started? Unless he's told you differently, it's still yes and amen. And you know, you might have to go through hell in between yes and amen. But the amen's coming. And God's going to work his work. Just like he said. Like God will give me a prophetic word about my grandson. You two are going to love each other just like you did before. And he's going to be this strong tower that you can run into. And he comes home cussing me and carrying on like a fool. And tell me I'm nuts. You know. All right, God, I just heard what you said 10 minutes ago. Yeah, that's the devil. It's not the flesh. It's the devil. What is the devil trying to do? The devil's trying to make me throw him out. Because then he has him. But as long as he's under my roof, he doesn't have him. And see, he's just trying to get him out there where he wants to kill him because the boy's really anointed to preach the word. He has charisma. He just has a way with people. Right now, he doesn't have a way with nothing. But that's still there. That gifting is still there. So I want you to think, what has God given you and given you a promise over and the devil's trying to steal it? You tell that old sneaky little sly thing that he can just go off somewhere. You're not Eve in the garden eating the apples. You're a child of God standing in heavenly places listening to your Father. Come on. And he won't be able to touch you. He can make you a little bit miserable. But God's even saying he's bringing us to a place that Satan can't ever touch us again. And we'll be rejoicing all the time. So what are we upset about? Are you all letting this sink in? Get it past this little noggin here and let it go down into your spirit, man. Are you getting out of this head knowledge thing tonight and letting it go deep down inside of you? Decree and declare. Doesn't matter what the enemy has to say, decree and declare. Amen. Now I'm hearing God say, don't speak into existence something God has already killed. If it's over, it's over. You hear me? If it's over, it's over. Don't try to speak it back into existence. If God has killed it, he's killed it. And he wants you free of it. And see, he prophesied last year that let go of everything that would hinder your walk with him as you go forward. And so God, what he's done is he's taken something away from you that you cherish and you're wanting it back, but it'll kill you spiritually. So if God's taken it, let it alone and just go on. All right. Well, God did a lot of talking here tonight. Did you hear him? Did you hear what he said? I want each one of you here tonight to understand that your Father loves you. And he knows what's best for you at all times. So don't try to do things your way. Let's do things God's way. And you know, God is very angry right now. Because the people in the body of Christ, some just don't want to yield. They just want their way, period. And it's not going to work that way. Don't be left standing on the roadside. You jumped into the river, stay in there till you drown. All right? And when you come out, it won't be you coming out. It'll be a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Well, Father, I thank you for the word this evening, and your people did receive it. I saw it on their faces. And Father, you have a way of just giving it that, you know, we either receive or reject. There's no in between. And Father God, there's someone here tonight that's hurting and hurting real bad. I'm asking you right now, Father God, to bring them people forth. Let them understand your way is Father. Let them understand your love for them. And let them accept it and move on. And Father, I just ask you right now to minister to your people in a special way tonight. God wants to drop a heavenly love into you tonight, is what I hear him saying. It's still too many in the body of Christ, and this is what God is saying. Still too many in the body of Christ are still walking in a fleshly love, and he wants to drop a heavenly love into you tonight. And when that heavenly love is dropped into you, you'll be able to receive anything that God brings your way. You won't question no more. You'll just know that he loves you and he knows best for you. And Father, we thank you for this anointing that destroys the yoke the enemy has tried to bind us up with. We thank you, Father God, that you are proficient in everything that you do. So, Father God, as your people are coming forward tonight to receive that heavenly love, I'm asking you to do for them what you did for me when I held my little grandson in my hands. A love, Father God, that nobody can kill. And Father, I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if you want that heavenly love that God wants to give to you tonight, just come on up.